ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Joggy Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first hour, jam pack, man, baseball talk, a little Texans talk, a little college football talk, and some soccer talk. All available on podcastarena.com. Go check it out. Man, now I'm excited because St. Arnold's just tweeted out a picture. It says, just under a week until you get some of this treat. It's the Pumpkinator.
Oh, it's almost time. Yeah.
Yep. So, looking forward to that. Anyway, it is one of the odds Wednesday, so whatever you do today, put odds on it.
Speaking of delicious stuff.
Yes.
Jack in the Box dropped by for us.
Yeah.
Random Acts of Breakfast. Are you familiar with this?
I am, yes.
They've been doing breakfast all day for a long time. Some other places are Johnny Come Lately.
Yeah, and making a big deal out of it. Oh, now we're doing it.
Yeah, and sometimes you're super hungover, and you're like, man, the only thing that's going to fix me up is breakfast. Well, Jack in the Box has you covered. They brought by a bunch of stuff for us today, including the Breakfast Jack, which you said that's your favorite, right?
That's my go-to.
That's the gold standard. And they brought these Grande Sausage Breakfast Burritos. And how many were in that bag, John? Four?
Yeah, three or four.
That bag felt like it weighed 10 pounds.
Oh, those things are huge, man.
That's a grown man breakfast.
So, yeah, those interns were out there mouth raping those.
Good for them. Yeah, we got on those today. So thanks to Jack in the Box. And as a matter of fact, because I love the people, even though the people think I don't love them, I do love the people, Fred. You can vouch for me on that, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So let's give
caller... Some of the people, not so much, but most of them, yes.
Let's give caller 9 and 10 a $25 gift card to Jack in the Box, John. Can we do that? Caller 9 and 10. You will win $25 to spend at Jack in the Box. 25 bucks will go a long way at Jack in the Box.
Hell yeah. That's about 25 breakfast jacks, actually.
Yeah. Well, Jack in the Box.
With tax, I'd say 23.
Long famous to me for milkshake. Their milkshake game is as strong as any fast food joint.
Very
solid.
Cookies
and cream milkshake. I'm about that life.
Mm. All right. Yeah. Thanks for bringing that stuff up. So. There we go. All right. 713-780-ESPN is your number. All right. I'm gonna do my shout out because I've been telling you about this on Monday nights. I go out to the Front Porch Pub in Midtown. They do Monday Night Football Bingo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just it's a goofy way to make you actually watch the game. And you know some of the games have been pretty crappy lately. Oh, yeah. Encarnacion just hit one out. So
that gives me zero fantasy points, unfortunately.
Well, you're not doing a FanDuel or anything on baseball today.
But you were right. Two runs will not win this game.
Anyway, so you have the contest, and if you get the bingo, you get like a shot or a beer or whatever they're giving away. And at the end, they draw for the grand prize. Well, I won the grand prize.
I do like to play bingo, by the way, like real bingo.
Yeah, I
that's a thing for me now.
I kind of enjoy that too. Like
it's way more expensive than I remember.
Yeah,
like
well,
you go out to bingo,
you go to
and
the
you, drop, you drop like a hundo at bingo.
And you go over to Coushatta. That's some gambling, man.
Yeah.
But I won the grand prize, which is like six shots, two pitchers, and a pizza. So for Sunday's game for the Texans.
Nice.
I don't know what my friends are going to drink, but.
Yeah, but you're covered.
I'm covered, yeah.
You are covered. Congratulations.
So if you're bored and looking for a fun thing to do on Monday nights, that's a pretty cool thing they do. So, all right, let's squeeze in a couple calls here real quick on What Are the Odds Wednesday. Let us try Daryl. What's up, Daryl?
Hey, sports, Daryl.
First of all, for all the blitzers north of bound at Beltway, it's kind of sucky right now. You're right. But anyways, what are the odds the Astros put up more runs in the ALCS than the Texans put up against the Jaguars Sunday?
Well, I'm thinking the Astros get four runs tonight. I think the Texans get at least a field goal. So I'm gonna go.
It's close.
It is close. I'm gonna go 5%. So, Brian wants to know, what are the odds Bama A&M is the best game of the weekend? ESPN hyping MSU, Michigan, and Florida LSU more. Actually, I think
Florida LSU, man, losing that quarterback and now one of their starters in the secondary, that's kind of a bummer to me. I think Alabama A&M might be the best.
It's one of those.
I'm so disgusted with the way Michigan State's played this year.
Yeah,
I really like that team.
Michigan's going to beat them.
I think they are too. I think they're going to cover. Michigan State hasn't covered a point spread this season. They're 0-for against the spread, and Michigan opened at 6.5, which is where I played it. But yeah, I think Bama A&M may be really good. I hope it is. And I was talking to Christina, who's one of our sales girls, an LSU fan, LSU alum. They're all coming out to – her and her friends are coming out to Luke's Ice House on Saturday to watch that game.
She makes
game.
A lot of appearances there.
Yeah.
I've noticed she's been there when I've been there a couple
and
times.
I said, oh, you're going to be cheering for Alabama. She's like, no, cheering against Alabama. I said, well, you know, if you were smart, you'd be cheering for Alabama because – A&M hasn't lost a game yet, and Alabama has a loss. So A&M is more of a direct competition for LSU right now. She's like, well, I'm not smart, and I just know how to hate Alabama.
Okay.
So that's what LSU fans' mindset is going into that game.
What are the odds of Patriots hang 50 on the Colts?
Oh, boy. That wouldn't shock me
one bit. You know, they've been beating people up all year. You know damn well they want to go in there and just – totally destroy that team. So okay, Troy, what are the this is a good one that you have to think about. This, what are the odds the Astros run total tonight is more than the Texans win total for the season?
I'll go 60% Texans.
Yeah, I kind of agree. Because Astros could get shut out tonight. And the Texans do have 3 winnable games coming up, which I don't expect them to win all 3, but I expect them to win 1 or 2 of them.
Yeah.
So.
I was trying to think of what other games might be good this weekend in college. I think USC is actually going to give Notre Dame a good game. I think everyone's kind of counting out USC.
Well, you get a sober coach in there.
Yeah.
Who knows what happens, right?
In a time when everything's falling apart in a rivalry game. And we saw an example of this last week.
Yeah, the old back against the wall thing.
Yeah, you can do something pretty impressive. What if I told you, Fred? Okay, I think Kansas State, Oklahoma will be pretty good too.
Yeah, yeah.
What if I told you at the beginning of the season that Washington would be favored against Oregon?
I would have laughed.
Washington is a 2.5-point favorite against Oregon.
Boy, I don't know exactly how our picks came out this week, but I only made 2 bets. One of them was the Oregon-Washington State over, which I got there thanks to overtime.
Yeah.
And the other was I had just unloaded on the Patriots against the Cowboys.
I did the Patriots against the Cowboys too, but I wasted it because I also bet the over in that game. And the Cowboys didn't do enough.
They did enough on defense to keep the Patriots from going over.
Yeah.
The Cowboys really did play good defense in that game. Didn't matter because they couldn't score. All right, let's try... Jess, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Sports.
Sports to you.
Yeah, what are the odds that the Texans reach out to try to bring in a third quarterback to replace Brian and Mallett?
Who? Give me an example of who you would like to see them bring in.
The backup quarterback for the Saints right now, the one that comes to mind.
Okay. Drew Brees has already missed 1 game with an injury. What makes you think that the Saints would be willing to trade their backup quarterback?
Well, with all the controversy whether or not Sean's going to be there, they may be in a rebuilding as well.
Well, if you're rebuilding, you don't get rid of your backup quarterback.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, the reality is there's just not a guy out there that's going to upgrade you at quarterback
right now. And let's be honest, let's say you did do that and you brought him in. It's 3-4 weeks before he learns your offense. And how do we know he's going to look good in this offense? Because we know Sean Payton can coach a quarterback and get a lot out of him. We don't know that Bill O'Brien can. So at this point, once you're in season, there's not really anything you can do unless the Saints say, you know what, we need to rebuild immediately. We'll trade Drew Brees. And you can't afford to get him under the cap anyway, yeah. So there's just no way to do that. Once the season starts, you're stuck with what you got for the most part. There's really – because you know who's getting signed every week to a different team? Josh Johnson.
Yeah, that's who you can go get. Is he an upgrade?
Well, no, you can't go get him because he's on the
Jaguars. He'll be cut next week.
Next week he'll be available because
– Buffalo.
The Bills
yeah.
got him. Yeah, the Bills got him. The Jags tried to get him.
Which, by the way, a Cowboy fan is so excited now that Matt Cassel is going to be the starter. Matt Cassel couldn't beat out E.J. Manuel to be the backup quarterback in Buffalo. Just let that soak in. And tell me again how excited you are that Matt Cassel's got the job now.
Matt Cassel is a better Brady Quinn. That's what he is. And it'll help having Dez Bryant back. Dez Bryant would make Brandon Weeden look a hell of a lot better, too. But, yeah, I wouldn't get too excited about that. All right. A lot more to get to. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
All right.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. But right now, we need to go to Dr. Vishal Shaw.
Dr. Shaw from the Richmond Bone and Joint Clinic. How's it going, Doc?
Hey, good afternoon. Doing great.
Always good to hear from you, good sir. And we've got some sad news with Jamaal Charles torn ACL. And we talk about ACLs a lot, but this is one that's been torn and torn again. And I myself have had the same issue. I retore one once it was repaired. Once an ACL tears, is it more likely to go again?
Well, yeah, the ACL, you know, maybe the three most dreaded words or dreaded letters, I should say, in an athlete's vocabulary. But you're absolutely right. Now, when an ACL tears, there is a slightly higher than average chance that it can tear again. Believe it or not, you're actually still more likely to tear the opposite ACL than the one that's been fixed if it's done correctly in the first place. However, we still see re-tears commonly. Now, I will say I'm fairly certain that in Jamaal Charles's case, he actually tore the ACL in his other knee this time.
Okay.
So it is a fresh ACL tear. And in his case, that's actually a better sign. If you do tear your same ACL again, then the chance for a long-term successful recovery and a healthy ACL in that knee goes down a little bit.
Oh,
but
good to know.
Having a fresh tear, you know, if anybody can come back from it, we know Jamaal Charles can because he's been there and done that.
Now, obviously, you know, with two replaced ACLs, is he ever going to be the running back he was before? And you know, is he still going to favor that left one, the one that he initially tore? And then is it going to make it difficult for him to rehab the right knee?
You know, it's certainly a concern. And for a lot of athletes, I think that would be a very realistic concern. The only favorable thing in his case is it didn't really seem to slow him down after coming back from his other ACL tear. He actually had some of his best years and most prolific years. And, you know, running backs are going to be cutting off of both legs consistently. If you always went right or went left like in basketball, it would really limit your effectiveness. And so I think he's been really effective at making various cuts since he's come back from his initial one. So, you know, in most cases, I would say it'd be worrisome. In his case, I think, you know, I'd be willing to say he might surprise us a bit. But, you know, as he's getting older and as these things are taking a toll, you certainly would be concerned.
All right. That's Dr. Vishal Shaw with the Richmond Bone and Joint Clinic, part of UT Physicians Group. Appreciate the time, Doc. We'll talk to you next time.
Sure thing. Take care.
Very weird thing just happened in this Rangers game.
Yeah, what are they all discussing? Tell me, I was busy.
There was a runner on third, and the catcher goes to throw the ball back to the pitcher. It hits the batter's bat and takes off, and he scores. And they called it dead, but, I mean, it has to be a dead ball, right? I'm not familiar enough with that rule.
Okay, tell me again what happened.
It was after the pitch. There's a runner on third. The catcher's throwing the ball back to the pitcher. The batter's standing in the box, and it hits his bat and skips off out of play. Here, they're showing it now. Has to be a dead ball, right? It's in the box. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
No, that's a dead ball.
Yeah, got to be, right?
Kudos to them for being aggressive base runners.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, but...
Yeah, he's going to have to go back to third.
Yeah, absolutely. Otherwise, if I'm a batter, I just do that every time the catcher's there's a runner on third. Just try to hit the ball then. All right, let's squeeze in some phone calls.
What was the initial call? What's happened?
Wait
here?
A minute. No, they've given the run now.
Whoa.
That's a terrible rule if you can do that, because I guarantee you I'm doing that every time I'm in the plate. I'm standing right there where the catcher's throwing the ball.
Man.
Oh, the
fans trash are, is pouring down onto the field.
Oh, yeah. You got a bunch of drunk Canadians. This could get ugly.
Oh, boy. That got interesting in a hurry. How is that?
I honestly don't know the rule, so I can't really speak, but I don't know how on earth
this dude
you can allow
is losing
that.
His mind.
As well he should.
I've never seen anything like it. I don't know what the rule is. I would assume a dead ball, but I don't know.
Well, they didn't even get to look at it. They just huddled. It was in a review.
Well, they know. I mean, I assume they know what happened.
Yeah, they have to. They have to.
I don't know how that works. Wow, that's crazy.
We need an umpire to give us a call and explain this to us, because I'm not sure these guys know what they're doing. Unless they were trying to argue that he didn't hit the bat.
No, it definitely hit the bat.
Well, it was clear that it hit the bat, but I can't imagine that would be a live ball.
Yeah.
I need some help from somebody who knows what the hell that's about, because I can't remember ever seeing that in any game I've ever seen anywhere.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Yeah, that'd be a hell of a way to lose.
We can take a sneak peek into the radio coverage if you like.
Yeah, why don't we do that?
It's currently on 1560 if you want to listen.
Okay.
So you're telling me on a play like that, a team season can come to an end? That's not right.
I'm feverishly trying to rifle through the rule book to see if I can find something that covers this.
The bat was extended by Chu, literally over the inside corner.
Yeah. The bat was over the plate. Wow. John Gibbons has had his say and is heading back to the dugout, and Texas has agreed
to it. It's necessarily over the plate, but it's definitely further out than it normally would be.
Wow.
That, you know what, man? That's a bummer. And I don't have a dog in this fight, but I hate to see a team lose a playoff series on something like that. That's I don't know the rule on it. I'm not sure.
There's my old high school classmate just grinning like a Cheshire cat there in the dugout. You got over. Congratulations.
Wow.
That's pretty scuzzy, I got to say. And like I said, I've kind of rooting interest both ways here, so it doesn't matter, but I'd like to see somebody win it the right way. That's a scuzzy way to win. I hope this guy gets a single so that it doesn't mean anything.
Oh, somebody's ejected.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But you know what? I love when umpires do that. When you screw up and then you eject somebody.
What I don't understand is how can you...
Hey, who'd they eject, John? Put it over on the thing. On the...
That's not right.
No. I don't know that I've ever seen that at a game before.
And you're just asking for trouble from here on out by allowing that.
The fans are being asked.
I don't know who just got ejected.
Huh.
What I don't understand is how can you initially call it out of play and then not even going to a review, reverse it?
I don't know.
So I'm getting all kinds of different stuff on text, and they're all totally conflicting with each other. So I need to hear from a real umpire.
Daniel says he's a college umpire. He can explain the situation.
Okay.
Well, call in, Daniel.
Yeah, call in, Daniel. We'll put you right on.
We have a guy named Jay said he played baseball for a while. He knows why the rule is that rule.
All right.
Let's try him. We'll try Jay. We'll see if he gets it right. Go, Jay.
Hey, how you guys doing? Yeah, I played baseball for a long time, man. You actually have to step out of the box and then step back in. So you can't stay in the box. So if he's staying in the box the entire
he wasn't.
Time.
He stepped out of the box, but he stretched his bat out.
Right.
Like he was stretching his arms out, like he had full extension on his arms. So the bat was kind of sitting close. Yeah. Like, yeah, he stepped away from the plate, but his bat did his bat stayed right up by the plate.
Well, that's one thing. If his bat is it does hit the ball on the way back, then that that should be a dead ball. It should be interference.
Well,
because that's the same way as if he's standing in the box and he accidentally gets hit with the ball.
Well, you,
I mean, it's the same thing.
You can go sit in the Blue Jays dugout and complain with them, but as it stands, it ain't doing them no good.
Yeah, and, I'm watching it, and everybody's going ape bleep, and I don't blame them.
They're getting headsets on, so maybe somebody somebody's calling from the Death Star to tell them what's going on.
Hmm.
Are they using the bullpen phone to, like, call somebody else? I thought that phone could only call the bullpen.
Yeah, they're going to the bullpen there.
Or is he using that phone to illustrate what happened there?
Maybe so. I mean, this is unprecedented.
Is this even reviewable? If it's not and they actually review it, I think it's the right thing if it turns out to be the right call. But, wow, that's one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. And, man, those people are going to go nuts.
And here's why that run shouldn't count is because that ref or the umpire, the home plate umpire, got up and put his hands out saying it's a dead ball before the runner got home. So, and not that the Blue Jays could have gotten to the ball and thrown him out anyway, but any effort that they would have made, there was no need to because the umpire was saying dead ball.
Right.
This is a trip. I want to know who got ejected out of that game.
Yeah, we'll fill you in on whatever happens here when we come back.
This is a Blue Jays player with glasses on.
Is it Brett Cecil? Isn't he like broken anyway?
Yeah, probably. That's probably who they sacrificed.
Yeah, they're like, hey, go yell really loud at these guys.
Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
It was Cecil.
Okay.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
We are back on the Blitz, and that call stands, and now they're out of the inning, so it wound up making a difference, and that is going to get ugly up there because I'm going to tell you, you remember what happened after they lost the damn Stanley Cup in Vancouver? Those people went nuts.
Yeah.
When they lose this, and part of the problem is I was watching Hockey Night in Canada the other night because it comes on during the hockey games, and there's Don Cherry talking about how the Jays aren't going to win because no one in America wants Canada, a Canadian team in the playoffs, and they want to see these other teams, and that's why they're cheating them and everything, and that guy's got them all riled up. Man, that could get dangerous up there because people are drunk and stupid. They had to get them to stop throwing stuff, and there were women with children having to leave.
I hope there are more runs scored in this game.
I do, too.
Broadcast said the Blue Jays will be playing the rest of the game under protest
Yeah. Nothing, though.
They're not going to finish the game and then change who advances to the ALCS.
Yeah.
Baseball do a lot of dumb stuff.
I guess the only protest I ever remember them having to replay was the George Brett Pine Tar one, right?
Yeah.
I think that's the only one I can recall. We have a couple umpires on. Can we get one?
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's do that.
Burgle? Is it Burgle?
I hope it's Burgle. That's my favorite
Virgil.
Word.
Oh, Virgil. Okay. Oh. Our interns can't spell, man.
Hey,
Burgle.
Sports to you guys.
Sports
technically,
to you.
By the rule book, it should have been ruled. It's up to the umpire to have discretion to say whether or not the batter interfered with the ball going back to home plate. But it should have been a dead ball because he waved his hands saying that play stopped.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He waved his hands to say play stopped, but he has the discretion to say whether or not the batter interfered with the ball going back.
I think anyone should be pissed, it should be the Rangers right now because that should be a dead ball because the umpire waved his arm saying dead ball. And it should have been a live ball. So the guy should still be a third. And maybe he should have scored based on the rule. But once the umpire comes out and waves his arms out like that, that means dead ball, play stops. So there's a lot wrong with this,
Sure. Let me ask Ryan to confirm that for us because he's also an umpire. What's up, Ryan? Is that correct? Did that sound right to you?
Hey, guys. Sports to you.
Sports to you.
So, the previous caller was a little bit right. The umpires do have some judgment in this case. If the guy, and I haven't seen the play, I'm only hearing your version of it.
But so if the batter was just standing there, for lack of a better term, minding his own business in the batter's box, and the catcher was to hit his bat with the throw, that's totally on the catcher, and that ball would be live and in play. If, however, the batter's, you know, taking some practice swings or extending his arms out in the vicinity of the plate, and the catcher hits it with the throwback, at that point, they can deem that it's unintentional interference and basically just kill the ball and put the runner back. There's no penalty unless it was deemed intentional, which doesn't sound like from your description that it is intentional. So basically, they can just put the guy back and basically have a do-over. Right. In terms of the, you know, once the umpire raises his arms and kills the ball, can runners still advance? Technically, no, but there are some cases where an umpire incorrectly calls time, and then common sense kind of has to prevail. Hey, if the umpire incorrectly called time, what would have happened what would have happened in the ordinary course of the play had the umpire not erred? So there are some cases where common sense has to come into play a little bit. This one, I'm afraid, is not cut and dry. And again, I haven't seen it with my own two eyes, but that's kind of my take on it.
That explains it very well. It clearly wasn't intentional, but he clearly extended his arms toward the catcher, too. So I guess that explains it. Thank you. See, we got some smart listeners out there.
Yeah.
And I didn't mean to get caught up too much in this, but, you know, breaking news. So, yeah, ESPN Stats and Info tweeted out basically what he just explained to us.
The rule should be it's a live ball, but to me, once the ump waves his arm saying dead ball, everything should stop. The guy should have to go back to third.
See what MMA Roasted tweeted out?
Yeah.
Umpires just made a worse decision than Ronda Rousey dating Travis Brown.
That's like if a ball is hit and it goes foul, and then the umpire throws his arms up signaling foul ball, and then suddenly he pulls his arms down and says, nope, fair. That you can't do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I you know, hopefully it won't matter. Yeah, Rangers get like four more runs or something. Of course, then they'll blame it on that anyway.
Yeah.
Or the Jays come back and win.
Yeah,
don't think three runs is winning this either, even though we're in the seventh. And this team will score some more runs. So we shall see. 713-780-ESPN. Dustin says, wouldn't this be the same as if the catcher threw the ball into center field when trying to get it back to the pitcher?
The difference is this guy was extending his bat out towards the plate. So it's not as cut and dry. Like the caller said, it's not cut and dry. But to me, once the umpire waves at a dead ball, it's a dead ball.
Yeah. Well, I thought our callers explained it really well there. So I tell you what, though. Played baseball for a long time, watched baseball for a long time. I don't think I've ever seen that in play.
Yeah.
And maybe I was just drunk when I saw it before and don't remember. But I don't think I've ever seen that.
Nope.
All right, let's swing in a phone call. Paul, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Guys, thanks for taking the call. I'm from the Metroplex, so I'm pitching for a Rangers Cubs World Series.
All right.
And I'm hoping to see that. Number two, and can you guys explain to me, I've got two real quick questions for you. Can you tell me why the game is not being broadcast on Houston Radio? I mean, I'd like a little love from my hometown team.
It's on 1560.
It's on 1560, so yes, it's being broadcast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number two, if the Rangers, and I'm hoping they will win, regardless of what happened. By the way, can you tell me who was the player on third base? If the Rangers and the Astros win tonight, did the Astros start Dallas Keuchel in Arlington? Seeing how he got shellacked from last time he was there. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks for interrupting.
Yeah, they'll start Keuchel game one if he doesn't pitch tonight, no matter what he did last time out, because he gives them the best chance to win. Odor was the guy who scored from third.
Yeah. And the Rangers have opened the inning with two errors now, so there's runners at first and second with nobody.
Yeah, they're
up.
Melting.
Yeah.
The baseball gods are punishing them for what they've done.
Well, either that or they're worried about getting out alive. I'm telling you, those people are nuts.
It's a crazy thing, man. I don't know what to think. I think Greg says three steps from plate when time was called, do you send them back to previous base or closest base? You send them back to the previous base because, you know, like I said, it's not the Blue Jays realistically couldn't have made a play on it. But once the ref or ump throws his arms like that, they don't feel like they've even got a try.
Although I'd have to say, common sense wise.
Common sense doesn't matter, though.
If common sense mattered, this wouldn't be a rule.
Right.
Let's be honest.
It's best case, it's a terrible rule that needs to be fixed.
Anyway, think he was complaining about your programming, Jung.
Yeah, Jung. He'd like to get some love for his local team here.
He'd much rather hear that game than us.
In all likelihood, to try to bunt.
Just a little taste.
Yeah, there you go.
You can hear that on 1560.
Yeah. There it is. Very simple. We've been promoting that all week, too, so I might want to drop the shame bell on that caller. All right, guys, hey, you don't want the shame bell dropped on you, and here's one way to avoid doing it. Help somebody out, and it's real easy to do. If you've got a vehicle that's sitting around that you're not using and you don't know what to do with it, how about donating it to Houston Cars for Kids? Because you're going to be able to make a change in a kid's life. If there's a kid who wants to drop out of school and doesn't know where to go, that's where Houston Can Academy comes in. It's a fully functional high school. These kids will get their degrees there, and they work around their schedules. And some of these kids had to drop out because they had to support their families and get a job. Well, they can do that and go to Houston Can Academy, get their degree, and go on and make a difference in life. Well, you can make a difference for them. All they're asking for is your vehicle that you're not using anymore. They'll come tow it absolutely free of charge. They'll take care of the paperwork. Your donation's tax deductible. And that money is going to go to help all kinds of kids. If a student needs glasses, they're going to get those. If they need transportation, they're going to help them with that, and they're going to get them an education. And if you donate today to show their appreciation, they're going to give you a $50 Visa gift card. Tell them you heard about it on the Blitz, and they're going to give you a $50 Visa gift card. So listen, don't leave that vehicle sitting there. They'll come and get it. Help change a life. They're changing lives. You can too. Give them a call. Houston Can Academies at 713-225-4226, or check them out online at HoustonCarsForKids.com. That's 713-225-4226. And remember, right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Dude, I'm turning my phone off. I did not want to hear from my wife. Phone is off, so if anybody else is texting me or anything during the show, sorry, I'm not responding. I'm not sure what they're reviewing now. He's trying to say it's supposed to be a double play.
Yeah.
There's no way. He wasn't even looking to first. Yeah, it was a good slide. And I would have, I'm not going to lie, if I'm them, I'm taking the guy out. I was always taught to do that anyway. Don't let him get a double play.
Yeah.
Anyway, as soon as apparently now we're having, the internet has slowed down. Did you do something to the internet?
No.
Because I'm trying to call up my Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day, and it's not coming up. And I'm getting the spinning wheel of death. Hell is this? Maybe I have
You keep talking about replacing that computer, but you haven't done it yet.
I know. All right, I've got it now. Time for the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
I'm guessing that zookeepers can party.
Why?
Well, remember the elephant woman was part of a zoological convention.
Right.
Well, over in England, apparently this is what happens when a meerkat expert, a monkey handler, get into a love triangle. Now, a monkey handler is actually not what you think. It's someone who actually handles monkeys.
That's exactly what I thought.
Okay, I was thinking something completely different.
You're a weird
dude. And that's probably why this fight started. But former zoologist Carolyn Westlake, who was a meerkat expert. Now, who goes to school for that, by the way? I'd like to study meerkats. I mean, they kind of sit there and they all look around, right? That's what they do? Okay, done. Anyway, Carolyn Westlake got very upset with colleague Kate Sanders, who is a monkey handler and apparently an ex-girlfriend of her current boyfriend. They were having a Christmas party at the London Zoo, and apparently she threw her wine glass into the monkey handler's face after she overheard her making derogatory comments about her appearance in the toilets. Apparently she was in the toilet talking to the other women, I guess as women do all the time, and simply said, "Have you seen the state of her?"
Have you seen the state of her?
Yeah. Isn't that so English? Have you seen the state of her? So the meerkat specialist said she accidentally hit her with the glass after she was confronted on the event. Well, several months later, she's actually said she did not recall striking her with the glass, but acknowledged that her ADHD and dyspraxia may have caused her accidental movements.
Oh, boy.
How can you be ADHD and be a meerkat expert? Because they don't move, right? They just sit there.
They don't move at all?
Well, they all sit there and stare. They're looking for hawks. That's kind of what meerkats do. Anyway, the monkey handler was rushed to a hospital, had to have a total of 5 stitches. And this week she was sentenced to a 12-month community order in order to pay $800 in compensation over what the district judge described as a nasty injury. She also must pay 200 pounds in prosecution costs.
She probably weighed 200 pounds. Have you seen the state of her?
Exactly. So, anyway, a little zoo-on-zoo crime. That's what happens when a Christmas party goes awry. That's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day. I was curious if you'd go with the story. Did you see the 12-year-old that got sued?
I did not see that.
A Connecticut jury rejected a woman's bid to sue her 12-year-old nephew for injuries she says she suffered from his exuberant greeting at his birthday party 4 years ago. A 6-member jury found the boy was not liable. She sued for $127,000. He jumped into her arms at his 8th birthday party, causing her to fall and break her wrist.
Wow.
She testifies that she loves her nephew, but thinks he should be held accountable. She said, when the child jumped, she tumbled to the ground as she tried to catch him. I remember him shouting, Auntie Jen, I love you, and there he was flying at me. It severely disrupted her life in Manhattan. She told jurors that last week she was at a party, and it was difficult to hold her hors d'oeuvres plate. The injuries, losses, and harms to the plaintiff were caused by the negligence and carelessness of the minor defendant.
Oh, man. Another botched play.
Oh, boy.
Well, they got that out at second, though. So,
Tied.
It's 3-3 with 2 outs, but Donaldson hit a little bloop over the second baseman's head that he should have caught, and he recovered and got the out at second, but that should have been out number 2 with the bases still loaded. That is 4 just absolute crap plays in this inning by the Rangers.
The Rangers infield.
Yeah.
I mean, they are, it's full melt.
He just misplayed that.
Yeah. The injuries, losses, and harms to the plaintiffs were caused by the negligence and carelessness of the minor defendant, and that a reasonable 8-year-old under those circumstances would know or should have known that a forceful greeting such as the one delivered by the defendant could cause harms and losses suffered by the plaintiff. The boy, the only defendant, appeared in the court with his father. The boy's mother died last year, which I'm guessing now that the girl's sister is dead, she feels okay suing the boy.
Yeah, or maybe he inherited a bunch of money from her.
Maybe so.
Sue's a 12-year-old. Come on. It's an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
Don't hug him then. Yeah. So don't hug me, kid.
So I don't love you, bro, and then
exactly. Get the hell out of here.
Well, as crazy as this has been, I'm glad that that run scored. So now...
Well, technically, they need to get one more run for it to be even then. They earned their run.
Kind of.
Sort of.
Not in the box score. It won't be an earned run.
No, it won't be. Well, what a weird game.
Yeah.
So it's now 3-3 in the bottom of the 7th. There are runners on 1st and 3rd and 2 outs.
And Hamels is out of the game, by the way.
Yeah. And I think that's Encarnacion up. No, Batista's up. So 2 outs and runners on the corners.
All right, going to tell you one more time about attorney Gary Trichter. And listen, if you're accused of a DWI, it can be damaging in many ways. It can, I mean, you can lose your car, you can lose a ton of money, you lose your license. There's a lot of problems with it. By the way, Jose Bautista just hit a 3-run homer, so it looks like that play from the last inning is not going to matter at all. Either way, when a DWI is brought on to you, it's hard to fight. It really is, especially if you don't have a lawyer who's experienced in standing up to juries and showing, you know, the police science is faulty. That's where attorney Gary Trichter comes in. He is a DWI specialist here in Houston. He's experienced in telling the truth about those tests. One of only four board certified DWI specialists in the state. So if you failed the breath or blood test, DWI or DUI, you need to put your trust in attorney Gary Trichter. Give him a call. Put his number on your cell phone right now, 713-524-1010, just in case you're ever in need of his services, or visit him online at texasdwilaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for Gary Trichter. You chuck it on
this
one, you chuck it on your mother,
and you chuck it on your father. This is The Blitz.
On ESPN 97.5.